Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, December the 6th, 2015, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. I'm Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, Grantham. And how about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. There was a bit of a hesitancy there, so I thought maybe you weren't there or something.
Okay, so that means you're not fine? Or you are fine?
No, that means that you're fine, but I said, did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I thought you were commenting on your own hesitancy. You thought I was hesitating? Okay,
yes,
well.
Yes, when I said, how are you, Gabriella? And there was a pause. We had a radio lull, see? When you have any type of, if it's not flowing along in radio, you know, then everybody's greatly concerned. And after 2 or 3 seconds, then we know there's a major issue. It's a nanosecond world we're in these days. The nanosecond world, billionth of
That's
a second
true.
For those people that don't know what a nanosecond is, or do they necessarily care? Right. But having said that, just for historical purposes, or hysterical ones, whichever you prefer, before the Victorian times, they didn't have the second. You're talking around 1800s, you know, and they didn't have the second. When they introduced the second, they had this second minute. They call it the second minute. So you can imagine how slow the times were when you had minutes and not seconds. Pretty interesting, don't you think, Gabriella?
That is right.
See, now you're cutting out. I don't know why you're cutting out.
I don't
you
know.
Have those.
Is this better?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you're eating that sandwich that you made before the show?
No, I did not have a sandwich before the show, nor am I eating now. Sorry to disappoint you.
Are you speaking into the phone? Because you're a
I
little
am.
Distant now. Oh, you
I
are?
I am speaking into the phone. Yes, I am.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Can you hear me better now?
I hear you better now, but a few seconds ago, I couldn't hear you very well. So
okay.
I'm sure that the others didn't as well. Okay. All right. So we'll get down to brass tacks that we rarely do on this show, right?
Okay, but that might be painful.
Are you distracted? You appear to be distracted.
No.
Are you
I was
reading that
a joke.
Book?
I said that might be. No, I do not have a book. I said that might be painful. You said we're going to get down to the brass tacks.
Well, I was hoping you'd pick up that joke. Because if you didn't, I was going to carry on with it.
Okay.
Gosh. I
All right.
See. All right.
Should
yes,
we start at the beginning? Should we start over? I think we
well,
might have
good,
lost our audience.
But don't you think it's pretty funny up to this point?
Somewhat amusing. Not terribly. It's just
well, what's
the Chinese,
pregnant pause?
The Chinese bit.
You're not hearing me? Is there a delay, a 2-second delay or something?
I don't know. I'm answering you as soon as you speak to me, so I'm not sure why you're hearing pauses.
Okay. And it's called the pregnant pause for all those people well, out there.
It's,
that are
it's
wondering.
The same on your side, too. There's a little bit of a pause there.
Oh, there is? Well, maybe
yeah.
It's delayed so they can. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So each week we make an effort to explain the three planks of my political platform, which is the international bankruptcy. So it's a sort of a negative platform, but it's important because we're in a bankruptcy and people need to know that. At the same time, there is remedy for it because we talk about the Uniform Commercial Code quite often on the show. And the reason for that, it has remedy pretty much, well, I wouldn't say against it. Well, it's just remedy for problems with the monetary system because we're in a monetary system. And in it, everyone is a corporation. People are considered corporations. As of the court case of 1939 of Simpson versus Erie Railroad. And that became the precedent to create people as corporations internationally. And that means that in the money system, there is a dual identity, if you will, a corporate entity and a common law entity. Now, common law is like a taboo word to the system, the monetary system, to that entity, because it's a law that doesn't really occur in a monetary system. I wouldn't say true monetary system, just a monetary system. It doesn't really occur because in the present system, and the reason I'm saying that I'm going to say that there's constantly a bankruptcy is because the measurement can never be specific. And then the banking entities don't allow for approximate mathematics. In other words, in the mathematics world, you don't have approximation because when you prove a formula, it's not a guess. You have a specific notation that has to be in terms of proving an equaling the problem that you have, and solving the problem, you have the proof. All right, so there aren't any variables in math. You have a symbol, there it is. You have a number one. It's not to be denied its existence because there it is. You see, so because you can put it on paper, you can put the number one on a piece of paper. You can point to it and see the number one. It's not relative. It's not the color blue, and somebody else might see it a little bit differently. There's not any qualitative situation. It's considered a quantitative situation. And maybe that's good that I went into it this week in terms of this problem with the mathematics, because that's why if you add up the accountancy or the books with the ledger, I'll say, in banking, then it has to equal out in terms of the number summations, okay? So how do you have an approximate mathematics? I mean, is that possible? What do you think, Gabrielle? In terms of my explanation, it appears that you can't have an approximate mathematics. And this would be equaling or in the same subject matter as bankruptcy. So what do you think? I mean,
it's my understanding that mathematics was an exact science.
Right. Okay. But then I've proved many times on the show that it's really a relative science.
Well, no, it's a relative science when you give the example of the 50 people measuring the line and coming up with different answers. That's relative, but that's because a human being is doing it because they're maybe not all measuring it exactly the same. If they were to measure it exactly the same, the answer would be exactly the same.
Okay, but in the statements you're making, you're inferring that people can measure things exactly the same, correct?
Well, I don't know if that's possible, but it's possible. But I'm just saying, you're talking about, you know, students in a class that are measuring a straight line and they all come up with different answers. But
okay, but that would mean yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I don't know if there's a way to measure things exactly the same, then the answer would have to be the same.
But I'm saying that the failure may be in the instructions, and it could be just a lot of variables there. There's a lot of variables for failure. But then again, is that what you're inferring? Like if the professor gives an instruction, say, please measure the top line, and they have a ruler and a pencil and a piece of paper, measure the top line, put the number in the left-hand corner and pass it in, right? So there's a number of failures in there. But you're saying, in the purest sense of mathematics, and as I said in this morning's show group meeting, I said that in terms of this whole relative thing, that when you're getting these instructions, or just the idea of the relative means of anything we're trying to do is determined by the differences in the differences that take place in terms of maybe the size of the ruler, the size of the paper, they're going to be off by a centimeter or a millimeter. It just depends on, and then they put it in the right-hand corner instead of the left-hand corner. So there's a lot of variables of failure. But then when you're talking about math of itself, all right, and what I, okay, well, I just remember I had forgotten something, was there was a professor called Dietrich Shorer, Dr. Dietrich Shorer, and I forgot what time period, I think 19th century. And he came up with what was known as experiment or infestation. That means you can't have a pure experiment because you always have the eyes and ears and the attention of the experimenter. In other words, you always have to have somebody in there to analyze the situation. So that he called that the experimenter infestation or the entity of the observer. You see what I mean? So that means that the one that's facilitating in control of the experiment or the test or whatever, they're going to have their relative decision-making power to declare whether something's right or wrong, too. So now it's a judgment call and arbitration. So does any of that make any sense? It probably sounds like gobbledygook, and probably is. But I think there's some logic in there in reference to the fact that that the failure is in the math itself, because, again, if you have a body of people, now it's going to be failures, not necessarily in the numbers, but, again, you can't get a pure experiment. You know, you're always going to have somebody there to interfere. See, the interference part is the problem. And, therefore, in the banking system of bankruptcy and what have you, if you have several accounts and they're supposed to be measured by the same group or the accounting principles that are set up by a certain accountant and what have you, if they're measuring these sorts of things, then that means that they're going to come up with differences when there is a large number of... So it may be an en masse thing of number system. It could be that because there's a larger population and measurement is inexplicable or inexact when there's larger numbers to be measured or analyzed. It could be that. Maybe you got two or three people, you get the numbers right. I don't know. See, that's the part that is confusing, but they do have the 70-year cycles of bankruptcy that happen all the time because the books don't match up. They don't have proper, what do you call that, you know, accountability or banking equilibrium. They don't balance is the word. The accounts don't balance, and therefore, if it happens a lot, they have to declare bankruptcy. If they can't cover themselves in the black, they're in the red all the time, so they're in a debt situation. Do you follow any of this at all, or are you reading now?
Sure. No, I'm not reading. Okay. I'm not reading. Oh. Please stop accusing me of reading, okay? My book is not with me. Okay.
We might end up getting into argument. I might have to delete the show. I've only deleted the show.
Okay.
In 9 years, I've only done that twice.
No, I'm just saying I'm not reading. I'm listening
so
to
I,
what
I revealed
saying.
That, too.
So when you laid into me
one time, I deleted the show. What?
Well, sorry about that, everybody. But what were you asking me? Because you made me lose the question
lose place
what you
in
just
the
asked me. No, I'm not reading. Okay. Do you want me to take a picture and send it to you?
I know I'm boring and whatnot, but it's okay. I mean, I find these things stimulating, but they're really isn't.
If you're going to continue to attack me, I may start reading.
It's very funny. Hey, we were able to eliminate half the show on gibberish. That's pretty good. I win the casuistry award this week for being the most politically casuist individual in America, or in the world, actually, probably. All right, so the issue is that I don't think the monetary system can avoid bankruptcy because of the mathematics problem, okay? And that's why they periodically have them. So I think it's unavoidable. People don't address the issue because it's really dry and boring, like I just went through the last 10 minutes. But having said that, there is at least a theoretical fix for bankruptcies, in terms of what I've presented many times on the show, that you could essentially declare a certificate, Federal Reserve certificate, and that would back the Federal Reserve notes. Okay, again, it's a piece of paper. It's not substance or specie, but my opinion is specie causes catastrophes like major Dugomiki or wars in history, and that's an opinion, obviously, but I think that it causes that because when you have a limited supply of specie like gold or silver or anything that's backing the paper, that means there's a substance there that can be taken or plundered by any faction that could mount an effort to do that. So that means that if they control the specie, then they control the currency. If there's no specie, there's no control of the currency unless you're going to plunder for the trees. Remember that joke about, I always say when it's strange, nobody can get it, so they're not going to do it. But if I say I have a bunch of gold, then somebody's going to come after it. You see, I mean, gold, you know, the substance that people are charmed by, you know, the magic of gold and all that business, okay, all that silly stuff. But if I say, I'm going to mount an effort with my war machine and I'm going to plunder you for your trees, well, all of a sudden that kind of falls short. And we're going, no, that's too strange. You know my silly argument about if you're sitting in a library and people are reading by turning the pages real quickly, you go over and say, sir, you're reading in a strange manner. I would appreciate if you would stop. You know?
Excuse me?
So in other words, if it's too strange, nobody's going to do it.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Right, I understand.
So if I'm a Sam, I want to attack your country because I want to take over your trees, see, because paper backs paper, that makes no sense. It won't happen. It's too strange. You see, when things are too strange, it won't happen. You understand what I mean by that?
Yes, but right now, I'm wondering if there's not as much paper being used because so many are using their smartphones and their computers and tablets and things that many people are reading books online instead of, or on their tablets or whatever, instead of reading books. And even kids in school are all using computers all the time. So I don't know if that means that there's actually less paper that's being used, consumed.
Well, then metaphorical, but I mean, there is an element that, okay, even computers, they said, when I worked in Silicon Valley for a long time, people know that, have listened to the archives, the idea was eliminate paper and go to electronics, but then we know that the computers have to be backed by hard copy, and so it makes more hard copy, it uses up more paper. So that was a big myth, because they recommend you back up the computers because it's electronic evanescence. It disappears. You see what I mean? So it's not a tangible substance, and therefore, just like the ideas of major cities losing all their power and then they're plundered by virtue of not being able by themselves, they pretty much are self-destruct because we're all dependent upon electronics. See, they don't consider that. See, just like computers, you're saying, well, they're using smartphones and blah, 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 and they're using less paper. But in reality, they're using more paper because they got to back up all that data they have stacked up in storage. Now, do they back up their computers with paper? I don't think they do that cloud computing, which is not true cloud computing that I found out recently. But there could be, go ahead, did you want to get in there?
No, I'm listening.
Were you
I'm making agreeing sounds, that's all.
No, I think it's probably good to mention that, too. I invented a system which never was implemented in the Valley. I call it the USSS. It has nothing to do with the United States. It's called the Universal Space Storage System, 3S, USSS. And it was because, see, the proof is that they have these service organizations, computer service organizations, that if you lose your data, they can come in and retrieve the data. All right, so that means that when you hit a key on your computer, then that particular letter is now digitized in space, okay? That means it's actually penetrating, I guess you could call it the fabric of space or vibration. And but then what they use in your computer, they have it on the backup data with the your megabytes, you know, storage and whatnot. But in terms of if that gets lost, they can retrieve it from the ethers. Okay, but they don't tell you how they do it, and maybe they don't even go into the discussion of it. They just have an apparatus that does it. It's just like anything else. You can drive a car and not know how it works. See, so I'm greatly intrigued with that. And then what I had said in the Valley years ago, all right, what's the point of having a hard drive when you can just store it in space, retrieve it yourself? See, that's true cloud computing. But the cloud computer stuff they do now, they have a big warehouse like they do with the satellite dishes controlling that. So they don't really use the ethers. It's not a pure cloud computing. They claim they have some sort of claim with that, but it's not. They don't really have USSS, which is my creation. I don't think they know how to do it. See, it's probably bad enough lost in the explanation that I'm trying to explain it. You see what I mean? So it does exist, but they can't explain it. It's just like they have things in Area 51, but they can't explain the technology. So if you don't have a theory, then you can't manifest it. You don't have a mapping. You don't have a blueprint. If you don't have a blueprint, you can't create something. You don't have CAD-CAM, you can't create something. CAD-CAM is imagery on the computer, imagery, and it's design and what have you, and then you manifest it in reality. You see, there has to be some kind of design. That's why they used to use blueprints. But if you don't have a way to explain things, if you don't have a thesis, then you have nothing. See, you see something, and if you can't explain how it works, that's no good. So that they don't have the information or the theory to comprehend it. See, so you have to be able to articulate it to be able to do that. That's why I claim recommendibus on the show, because I'm the last say in terms of the bankruptcy fix. Nobody has it. Most people don't even understand it. Most people think we still have money that's backed by gold and silver. How stupid is that? It's just ridiculous. And people believe we still have the Constitution suspended in 1930. It's been done 85 years ago. So why do they still bother with that? Because they're not paying attention and don't care, see? Well, like you said, they're all on their smartphones and they could care less. But it's a controlling factor. If you have the knowledge, it controls things. That's why if people know the true law, that's a controlling factor. Or if you know how to represent your straw man, which is the corporate person, like the example would be, in America, they call it John Doe. In England, they call it Joseph Bloggs. It's the same thing. So we'll use John Doe. You have full uppercase John Doe, right? Years ago, you had John Q. Public, and Q didn't really represent a name. So we have John Doe, full uppercase name, John Doe. All right, even if it's initial uppercase, it would still be the corporate entity. All right, that corporate entity is a code violation of common law. It means it is a identity that a human being, I'll say, could have, which has two identities in any society. You know, you'd have a common law entity and you have a corporate entity. Right now, in order to control the first entity, the first one would really be the common law, but the ancillary one of the corporate entity, the way to control that is you would have to act as an agent or representative of that corporate entity. So that's a fix for that, and it's the only way around it, but people aren't aware of it. They don't understand that their true identity is not the one established by the corporate superstructure of the world today. Already a monetaristic superstructure has to have this system in place in order to control it and maintain it. See, at some point, if it's not there, it comes into being. Because before, there's a conflict with law and practice. Because practice is the monetaristic system. The true law is behind it. They talk about that matrix business, those movies and stuff. Well, the true matrix is the monetarist system. And what backs it is the true law. But people don't know the true law. And right now, the true law is the UCC. All right? Because they're using that as the bankruptcy articles of Section 1 are in use presently in our courtrooms. But then the irony is they can't reveal it. They can't even tell you that it's there because because they are in fear of revolution, because we're hot off a lot of revolutions the past couple of centuries, so they're real nervous about those revolutions, because they can happen. And the uprisings or the handguns in the street, they're concerned about that, of these uprisings and what have you, because it could spread. My opinion is I doubt that, because you try to organize things, it's very difficult. Organizations are very difficult. No matter how much funding is back, usually they fall apart because of the nature of the beast itself, in terms of people don't comprehend well these days. Their attention level is very poor, and that means, my opinion is, it's the iatropia, that you take two different medications and you have a disease called iatropia. You see what I mean? So I think there's a focus issue, and then you have the other drugs too, like marijuana and LSD and heroin and all that business. That attention level is next to nil. So organization, when they talk about terrorists and all that stuff, well, just forget about that. I mean, that is just ridiculous and rude and everything else. It's all money, 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 and we have to understand that. So I just think certain times in history, when they weren't plagued by drugs and things, or the pre-Aldous Huxley Brave New World, he took that from Shakespeare anyway, the Brave New World that he wrote years ago, they never even turned into a movie because it was too complex, talking about all the drug issues. So I just think it's an attention level factor. People don't have enough knowledge to focus on it. I mean, people can barely get through one of my shows without being overwhelmed by the whole thing, and I think it's pretty simple. Just like my group on Sunday mornings, I have to reiterate things till I'm blue in the face over and over and over again till they get it, but it's all right. I don't have a problem with it. I'm not anxious about it or concerned. I'm just telling you like it is. That where people, and just like the students in school, they are completely uninterested right now because they only have basic premises of the chemical element of hydrogen, the first on the periodic table. They don't have that correct. So if they don't have the original one correct, the first one, with everything's based upon that, do you think the other under 18 are correct? Why do you think people aren't interested in chemistry? Or why do you think the kids aren't interested in school? And your basic foundation is completely foul. Hey, I got on a roll tonight, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Were there any poppy seeds in it?
No. I guess the poppy seeds are raw, right?
Because if there were poppy seeds in it, then, you know, you might be subject to having hallucinations because of the opium.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Very good. Well done, Gabrielle. I deserve that. Bravo. And that's why you had the 9/11 was to get the poppy fields in Afghanistan. One of the reasons. But, I mean, why buy it when you can take it, correct? So there you have your NATO routine of the world order. Just take everything, and why get into mercantilism with it? Why do you get into competition with other countries when you're the one country or the United Nations? I'm not pointing fingers at it being terrible. I think that it's a workable situation. That's why I bring up my planks of sovereignty, solvency, and atheism and shadow. If we would insert that in there, we'd have a next to perfect system. I really believe that. And next week, I promise everybody I'll go into that in more detail, the three planks, even though I completely missed the mark tonight, and we're almost done. Gabriella, thanks for being on the show tonight. I really appreciate it. You're always splendid.
You're welcome. I was happy to be able to be here to take all your barbs.
I know. People like our friendly, idle banter, right? And like I said, I only had to eliminate two shows in 9 years. That's not bad for really laying into me, but I deserve it, right?
Well, somebody has to.
Well, that's a deep subject, too, isn't it? Isn't the well very deep?
I suppose
okay,
that is.
So, all right. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call this evening. I really appreciate it, all the journeymen and all the returnees for each week and the new people as well. It's a lot of fun for me. I enjoy doing this, albeit the information's kind of dry politically. So this is Grantham Taylor Hughes. For my show, I got to kill off 5 seconds here. Oh, yeah, I can do it. Soft shoe, right? Have a great week, and goodbye for now.